Ladies and gentlemen, from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, sports, entertainment, brought to you in stilettos, your host, Tanya Brennan.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl. This week is cruising on by, and it's getting chilly out there. I'll tell you what, I got my little bundle-up coat with me. Excited. We've got an hour of sports. We've got entertainment, and I'm so stoked to introduce to you my guest host today. It's been a minute since he's been here because he's so dang busy. Executive Director of the Las Vegas Bowl, John Cecenti, is in house.
What's happening?
And you're bundled up.
I am bundled up. This is chilly. It is freezing, and I refuse to put the
heat on. Right. It's a little too early in the year to put the heat on, but yeah, it is chilly. So sorry, I've been gone for a while. I've been traveling a little bit, trying to make magic happen.
Yeah. So speaking of magic, where you been? What you've been working on? Because I know your big game is coming up here. It's December 21st, the Las Vegas Bowl. Tell us what you've been up to. How's preparation? What's happening?
Yeah, so it's been a crazy, hectic year because with all the planning going into the 2019 game and everything kind of being status quo for this year, we still have, 14 events during bowl week. We still have, 30 events throughout the year. We still have to sell tickets. We still have to sell all our sponsorships, all our team and game operations. We have to do everything for this year as is, which is a lot to take on. The difference this year is the Las Vegas Bowl is going through a little bit of a makeover. Next year, we're moving into the brand new Allegiant Stadium.
Very exciting.
Woo!
I'm so excited.
Which is great. But then we have new conference matchups. So we're gonna welcome the SEC mm-hmm. into the mix. We're gonna welcome the Big Ten into the mix. So I've actually between traveling, I've been going to Oakland a few times here and there. I've been going to the Pac-12 offices. I made my first trip ever to the Big Ten offices and spent a couple days with them. I'll tell you what, it's a whole nother world, man. You walk in the front door and you immediately hear these, loud booming voices and videos playing of Ohio States and Michigan's and Penn States. And wow. it gives you kind of goosebumps listening to, all the tradition that goes in within football, but then all the tradition that they have within basketball as well. So it was kind of cool, kind of neat. They have a brand new commissioner who's only been on the job for a few months. Okay. So we actually spent some time literally just getting to know each other because he didn't know me. I didn't know him. We're going to have to work together. So let's break bread and have some fun. So, it was good.
And you've been affiliated with the Las Vegas Bowl since 2001. How has this game evolved? I mean, it's grown. How has it evolved over the years?
Yeah, well, for starters, I didn't think I'd be around this long because in 2001, I remember our first game, we actually played it on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So we had a 3 o'clock kick on Christmas Day. It was USC. It was Utah. The game was freezing outside. It was 10-6. It was the most boring game ever. There was about 12,000 people in the stands because who the hell wants to spend Christmas at Sam Boyd Stadium?
Sure.
So it was miserable. It was brutal. Luckily, we did not stay on that date. We moved the date around, and ultimately, in the last 9 years, we landed on that Saturday afternoon time slot, 12:30, the first Saturday of bowl week, which has been very good for us because now people can come into Las Vegas on a Thursday or Friday.
Have the whole weekend.
Yep. Here. The locals can now enjoy a Saturday afternoon right before Christmas out at the game. So it was a perfect match for both the tourists and the locals. This year is a little different, though, because we're actually, instead of kicking at 12:30, which we have the last 9 years, we're actually going to be kicking at 4:30, which is a little bit later in the day. But the TV window is going to be much better, so we'll be able to showcase Las Vegas to a few more people. We'll be on primetime on the East Coast.
Nice.
Which, as we know, the East Coast television market rules all.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. It'll be exciting. We just now we sit back. We watch a lot of football. It's funny because every Sunday I spend the day putting the records together. Who still has to play who? I'm predicting. Basically, I'm trying to predict the outcome of games. Okay,
right.
This team's going to beat this team. They're going to end up at 10-2. This team's going to beat this team, and sure enough, every time I feel like I got it all figured out, something happens.
Changes.
Where it's impossible. Everything gets thrown out the window, and something happens, and then you're basically sitting back, starting again.
Every single week. And you mentioned the new affiliations, the SEC. That is going to be very exciting for this game. I missed the lunch this year. I know it was a huge success. Share a little bit about that lunch. Who was your your guest speaker this past
this year? We had Ryan Leaf. And okay. for all those football fans out there that remember, in 1998, Ryan Leaf took Washington State to the Rose Bowl, which Washington State did not sniff a Rose Bowl since the 1930s. So all of a sudden, you got this big, brash quarterback coming in there, and they're winning football games in Pullman. They beat their rival, Washington. I mean, it was a magical season for Washington State. Ryan ends up becoming the Heisman Trophy runner-up to Charles Woodson, who ruled college football that year. And then when it came time for draft time, literally you had 30 NFL executives all split down the middle, 15 of them saying Peyton Manning's the guy, and the other half saying, no, Ryan's got a bigger arm, stronger arm. He's a bigger dude. Ryan's the guy. And they were literally split down the middle. Ultimately, I think everybody would agree, Peyton was the better draft pick there. Ryan had some really bad struggles in life. He ended up out of the league after a few years, struggled with some drug addiction, alcohol, ended up doing jail time for a few years for it, but he's got an amazing story of where he was and what happened to it's funny because he started off and he said 5 years ago today I was sitting in a jail cell and today I'm sitting here talking to all of you guys and I'm employed by the Walt Disney Company.
What a change,
right? But phenomenal story of what he went through and how his story. So you know, we had 110 local business leaders that all support the game, that all like to talk college football. And they got to listen to Ryan kind of tell his story. And it puts a lot of things in perspective, right? Like, you know, no matter if you end up down the wrong path and things don't go your way, you have one of two choices to make. Do you continue to spiral down that wrong path? Or do you look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to have a better life.
And he did.
And he did. I mean, obviously it took him a little bit longer than I think he would have hoped. And I'm sure he didn't want to spend all that time in jail. But you know, he got down the right path, and now ESPN loves him. He's doing studio shows, he's doing talk shows, he's doing on air, he's doing analysts. Yep. So he's going down the right path. And what was especially you know, what I enjoyed most was getting to spend the time with him away from the luncheon. Right, we had dinner, we had lunch, you know, hearing the stories and listening to him talk. You know, just as a normal dude, one-on-one, and tell the story. Phenomenal dude. I'm rooting for him. He's got a new fan. So Ryan's going down the right path.
Congratulations. How do we purchase tickets?
Easy. LVBowl.com.
Okay.
As of today, we've sold close to 29,000 tickets. So there's about, give or take, about 8,000 tickets left on
get
the system. So if you're thinking about it, and we tell this story all the time, and it's a joke in our office, and we laugh about it, but it's the truth. And we're out here trying to sell tickets in you know, July, August, September, you know, now October. I'm asking you to buy tickets to a football game that I can't tell you who's playing in the game. I truly have no
and
idea.
That's
I can give
it's
you.
It's having faith,
yeah,
right?
I can
have
you,
two great teams.
I can give you 12 potential teams right. that are going to be in the game, but it doesn't matter, because the one thing that we do a really good job of that I'm most proud of is we create that game day environment, that game day experience where it doesn't matter who's playing, right? You're going to have fun at the Fan Fest. We're going to have live music. You're going to, you know, we used to have an old tagline years ago that was they play, we party. And that's what we do. We throw a big party. We celebrate the magic of bowl season, the magic of college football, and everybody that comes out and has a good time. And I can line up probably 30 of our really good sponsors that spend a lot of money with us that bought tickets to the game and say, what was the final score last year? Who won? And they would look at me like, I have no idea. I have no idea,
right.
But it was fun.
Exactly.
And so that's what we try to do. And,
Very cool.
And we have a good time doing it.
Buy your tickets December 21st. Good job, John. Congrats on that.
Hey, thanks.
I'm looking forward to next year, too, in the new Allegiant Stadium. That's going to be awesome.
We are, too, but it's also exciting. Scarier than all hell, because we're going from 38,000 seats to 65,000 seats.
Oh, you can
seats.
Feel it.
But
yep.
Luckily, we have great partners with the Raiders. They're helping. They're doing a lot of the research for us. They've been great partners.
Very
so
cool.
We're looking forward to it.
Very cool. Let's get right into football. Last night, we had a big Monday night game in Pittsburgh. Miami Dolphins took on the Steelers. I know John said, don't pick on my Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick in for the Dolphins at quarterback and Mason Rudolph in for the Steelers. Rudolph throwing for 251 yards and had a couple interceptions. That was kind of tough to see Steelers that first half. They couldn't do anything offensively or defensively. Wide receiver J.J. Smith-Schuster with 103 yards, caught 5 passes. Deontay Johnson, 5 passes and 84 yards. Miami just having some serious challenges.
Yeah.
I feel bad for
them. Listen, I grew up a Dolphins fan, too. And so I watched the first half, and actually they gave us a glimmer of hope that they were going
to
win something.
14-0.
I was like sitting there. I didn't even watch the second half, and it's probably a good thing that I didn't. But my two favorite parts of that was, one, that Juju Smith-Schuster catch where he mossed that guy. That's going to be on You Got Mossed for sure next week. But every time the cameras panned to the Steelers fans, and they had this look in their eye
depressed.
Like, are we really going to lose to this garbage team? Because let's be honest, Miami's garbage.
Last night they went in 0-6. So they were still winless and hoping for that first.
They're going to continue to be that way for a while.
I will tell you this, though. I know that today was the trade deadline, and we'll talk more about their big addition to their team. I like their head coach. Training, coming from the Patriots, working with Bill Belichick. What are your thoughts on him?
I don't know because it. Listen, here's the deal. I don't know if he's a good coach. I don't know if Josh Rosen's now a good quarterback. You have no players on that team. It the poor guy. He gets there and they start unloading everything. I'm now becoming a Raiders fan. So the Dolphins picked the perfect year to go 0-16.
Right.
They might be the only franchise ever to finish a season undefeated, going 17-0, and then finish a season completely defeated at 0-16. Obviously nobody's ever done that because nobody's ever completed a season, you know, without any losses. But how do you gauge that team? They say that they're tanking and they need a quarterback at the top of the draft. But if you trade away every single player you have and you get a quarterback in there and you still have no players.
And you have no elements to the team.
Where are you going? So I put it this way. Would the Patriots ever do this maneuver?
No, of course not.
Bill Belichick
wouldn't do this. Pittsburgh, actually, they came back 27 unanswered points in this game. Steelers' James Conner went out with an AC shoulder joint injury. He left in the fourth quarter early. Ryan Fitzpatrick was trying to do deep passes in the end, and unfortunately receivers were letting him down. So
no Fitz magic last night.
So sad. 27-14, Pittsburgh wins. They advance 3 wins and 4
Our
losses.
Our buddy Merrill Hodge has a smile. I was really hoping to call him this morning and kind of rub that in because he would have been the most depressed person on the planet.
If they lost
that
to
happened.
The Dolphins, forget it.
And I already had the text written out, ready to go, and I unfortunately did not get to send it. So.
Speaking of Merrill and the Steelers, what are your thoughts on them this year? I'm having a hard time just rallying behind this team. I don't know what's going on with Tomlin. I feel like there's a somewhat of a lackadaisical attitude on the sideline. Is Ben Roethlisberger really in there to help the team, or is he kind of like, I'm going to coast because, you know, I'm not in there? I don't know. I don't know what I think about them this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, very rarely can a team get rid of its two best weapons or two biggest stars and get better. You know, this might be a perfect scenario where it may take a year or two to get back on track, but they feel like, you know, addition by subtraction was the right way to go. I think, you know, I'm not so sure they want Antonio Brown back, but I would bet privately they wouldn't mind having Le'Veon back.
But I agree.
I think they're one of the most stable franchises in the league. If, you know, if they have a down year or two, I think they'll eventually come back.
And Le'Veon's having a tough year too over there in New York. That's
brutal.
Crazy. Today was the NFL, the trade deadline was 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Some trades happening today. The big one, speaking of Miami Dolphins, they acquire cornerback Aqib Talib and a fifth round pick from the Rams for a future late round draft pick.
Yeah, Talib can't play, so it's not like they're trying to make the team better. They're acquiring a guy that has to sit on the bench, so that's one less good player on the field. So the Dolphins continue to...
Not a lot of trades. There was a lot of talk between the Falcons and the Redskins. Not a lot of moves. I know the Arizona Cardinals acquire running back Kenyon Drake from the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins get a conditional sixth round and a draft pick in 2020. Philadelphia Eagles acquire defensive end Jannard Avery in exchange for 2021 pick and defensive lineman Leonard Williams, moving from the Jets to the New York Giants. I know left tackle Trent Williams wanted to be traded. He's been holding out for the Redskins. That didn't go through, so he did end up reporting back into camp.
Word there is the Browns really wanted him, but were not willing to give up what the Redskins demanded.
Right. So it was a lot.
He stays at home.
And Baltimore Ravens signed Willie Snead to a one-year extension. Other headlines in the NFL, Chargers fire their offensive coordinator, Ken Wisenhunt. The team is only averaging 19.6 points per game. They're 23rd in the NFL, so no surprises there. Bill Belichick wins his 300th game this past weekend. This guy just never ceases to...
Am I the only one that heard 300 and was like, that's it? Like, he's the greatest coach.
It seems like he wins everything.
Seems like nothing. The guy's been winning double-digit games for God knows how long.
It's a little early to talk about best coach ever in any sports because he's still obviously coaching, but I think he'll be a candidate in the near future. I mean, you got Phil Jackson, who won 11 championships with the Lakers, but I think Bill Belichick is kind of on his heels.
He's right up there with everybody else, him and Saban and Phil Jackson. And
I think Nick and Bill Belichick, they've got some little conniving scheme every year. It's hard to beat those two.
And they hang out.
Yeah, I know. Like they're friends.
They're friends.
Patriots re-signed quarterback Cody Kessler and the Jets linebacker C.J. Mosley. This is a tough one for the Jets. Like, they need any more sad stories. Mosley's going to be out with a groin injury for 5 to 6 weeks. He's going to try to avoid surgery. The team expects to sign tight end Chris Herndon to play in his place and Sam Darnold quarterback. Now, I don't know if this is how serious this is, but sprained his thumb, I guess, against the Jacksonville Jags. Tough for the Jets. There's some teams that it's just, I got to be honest, working for the 49ers in the last several years, I've seen the 49ers have some really bad years. I know the pain.
Well, is this your segue to talk about how good the
49ers
are?
No, I'm not going to talk about Niners yet because I'll leave a whole segment for that. Denver Broncos quarterback Joe Flacco will miss Sunday's game against the Browns. He has a herniated disc in his neck. Brandon Allen to start in place of Flacco. And good news for the Redskins, running back Darius Juice. I love that, Juice, how he spells his name, G-U-I-C-E, Juice. Back at practice, looks like he's going to be able to play in Week 11. We've got the World Series tonight. A big game. Astros win the game on Sunday against the Nationals 7-1. They lead the series 3-2. Tonight is game 6, and they will play this game at just after 5 p.m. tonight in Houston. What are your thoughts?
It's over tonight.
Is it?
It's over.
I'm so stoked the
it's
Astros
over. The
are there.
The wheels are coming off.
Now, the owner of the Astros a few years ago when he said to his fans, give me time to rebuild this team and give me so many years, and look what he's doing with them.
Yeah, they were pretty bad there for a couple of years, but they continue to trade and reload the farm system and get some really, really good quality talent that ended up becoming good major league talent. Couple trades here and there to improve the team, and this is what you get. You get a perennial, World Series contender.
Other news in Major League Baseball, the Yankees fire their pitching coach, Larry Rothschild. He has been their coach since 2011, and Pirates fire their general manager, Neil Huntington. That always happens when the season ends. A lot of shifts and moves for different franchises. Our Vegas Golden Knights, they played on Sunday. They beat the Ducks 5-2. They have a little break this week, and they play on Halloween Thursday night. The puck will drop at 7 p.m. against the Canadiens. What are you thinking about the Knights this year? I'm a Cody Glass fan. I think he's skating so well.
I was there on Sunday. Atmosphere was electric as always.
As always.
It was kids' day or kids' evening. Game started at 5 o'clock.
I saw that.
But lots of kids in the stands, lots of young fans loving their Knights. They're doing a really good job, becoming Vegas's team and getting everybody on board. But team looks good. Fleury looked good. I think Sunday was more so the Ducks weren't very good.
Right.
As opposed to, we were that much better. We were just that much better.
The game prior to that scared me.
Yeah.
We got our, what's whooped.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Good thing is now you have some veterans on here that have done it a few times. They know how to pace themselves for the season.
Yep.
As long as you got Fleury back there, they're going to be in good shape. They're going to be a contender. So
they'll
be just fine.
Good stuff. In the National Hockey League, sad news for the Blues. They lose Vladimir Tarasenko. To a long-term IR. He's going to be out for 5 months. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com. We have John Cecenti in-house from the Las Vegas Bowl, and later this hour, former Raider defensive tackle Roy Hart will be joining us. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl.
Hi, I'm Terry Fader, and I'm lynched in the impersonating turtle. We perform at the Mirage, but when we're not performing, we listen to Vegas Sports Girl.
That's right, sports in stilettos.
Terry's wearing them right now.
Well, Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. That was Terry Fader and Winston. They were in studio just a few weeks ago. A lot of fun. Winston knows a lot about sports. John Cecenti joining me today from the Las Vegas Bowl. Glad to have him back. We're talking some NFL. Let's talk New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees returned this past Sunday. He was out. He had surgery on his throwing hand, on his thumb. Still looking the same, right back into the swing of things, threw for 373 yards. Alvin Kamara was out on the sideline. Michael Thomas, 112 yards and a touchdown, and Latavius Murray looking good. These Saints, to me, are the team in the NFC that are the strongest, in my opinion. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, as long as Brees stays healthy, mm-hmm. but although, you know, Teddy Bridgewater came in, did a great job, went 5-0, proved that he can be an NFL right. quarterback as well. I do like the Saints a lot. I feel like the Saints are going to do what the Saints do, though. They're going to continue to win throughout the regular season, maybe go 13-3, and then get a really bad call against them, and all of
Who
a sudden
knows?
Be out of it.
But, right now, the calls are so scary.
They look good. They look good. They look like they're firing on all cylinders. Brees does not look like he's 40 years old, and they look like they are one of the teams.
I think about this, and when I watch different games, I always look at the top teams in the league. I mean, obviously the Saints. The Niners, first let me tell you, the Saints are playing good on both sides of the ball. The Niners' defense is insane. Nick Bosa this past weekend nominated for Defensive Player of the Week. Potentially could be, if he plays to these standards, Defensive Player of the Year. This guy was on fire. That front defensive line with DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa. So obviously the Niners... strength is their defense, but Saints are good on both sides of the ball. Now, I work for the Niners. I'm going to look at this very neutrally. Not sure if our offense can put the points up, even though they did have 51 against Carolina Panthers, and they actually held their offense to a minute. Like, I was surprised they held McCaffrey to what they did. But if Saints and Niners play each other right now in the NFC Championship game, what are your thoughts, John?
I've been one of those people that I did not buy into the Niners being one of the best teams in the league.
This year, I
was not one of those people that was buying into it. Now, what they did last week was really impressive. That defense looks phenomenal. The offense, to your point, maybe not the best offense around, but it's fairly efficient, and I think it's going to continue to get better as Jimmy G continues to get better. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the Saints are playing better on both sides of the ball. Right now, they look like a better team. So if they were to play today, I think, the old adage that defense wins championships, but I still would take the Saints,
absolutely.
Given the fact and the talent that they have on both sides, personally.
Now, Saints beat the Cardinals 31-9. The game with the 49ers and the Carolina Panthers really was a test game. It was, okay, who's going to show up? Is it McCaffrey and the offense and their quarterback, Kyle Allen, looking fantastic? He went 4 straight games without a loss. So Tevin Coleman, running back for the 49ers, 105 yards, 4 touchdowns. Our cornerback, or I say the 49ers cornerback, Richard Sherman, intercepted a pass from Kyle Allen. He says, 31, I still got it in my system. I can still intercept. Allen was 5-0 before playing them, and then obviously had his first loss, had a few picks, which that hasn't happened to Kyle Allen on the Panthers for the last several games. I think Panthers are a really strong team. But talking about Richard Sherman, he's now tied with Aqib Talib with 35 career interceptions. So Niners had 3 interceptions for 17 points. Jimmy G, we talked about their offense, only 175 yards. He was 18 for 22. They held McCaffrey at 117 yards. Niners were averaging 6 yards per play. We talked about Nick Bosa, 4 tackles, 3 sacks, and an interception in that win. It was hysterical when he did intercept and run to score. He said, I saw a receiver. He kind of fell to the ground at the 5-yard line, and I know he needed oxygen. I mean, these guys are, they're so strong, but when they get down there and they're actually running and sprinting, they can't, you know, they got to breathe.
Did you just say our 49ers?
I did not.
You just showed your stripes
49ers.
There a little bit. You said our Niners.
Niners. Still looking at Seattle. Obviously, they played Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan was out on the sideline. And Matt Schaub, I didn't even know he was still playing. I got to be honest with you. In at quarterback?
I didn't know that either, actually. Yeah. I saw that on the ticker.
He was at quarterback. I thought, what? But Russell Wilson, passer rating of 115.5. Seattle now 6-2. Falcons dropped to 1-7. So not a good season for the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, fans and the owner, Arthur Blank, very disappointed. He said he's going to take these next few weeks to evaluate the Falcons. They have a bye. Is Coach Dan Quinn in the hot seat?
It's so fun. What was it? 2 years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. It's amazing how quickly the fortunes of an NFL team just turn. That, you know,
too quickly,
and all of a sudden, now you're questioning Coach Quinn and is he on the hot seat? And just a couple of years ago, it was talking about how great of a job he was doing. Everything was great. It's you know, the old NFL's not for long.
It's about what you do for me today.
What have you done for me lately?
In the AFC, the strongest, one of the strongest divisions, obviously the Indianapolis Colts, the Houston Texans. That's a very strong division to me. Jacoby Brissett for the Colts is just on fire at quarterback. I think he looks fantastic. They played Denver on Sunday, winning by a field goal. Vinatieri kicked a 51-yard field goal in the last 55 seconds, but Brissett was able to pull the offense down, get the ball down there so they could kick. They win this 15-13. Brissett with 202 yards and 15 for 25. Sunday night, Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers. I'll tell you, without Patrick Mahomes, this was a good game. Green Bay Packers looks fantastic anyways. You have Aaron Rodgers. I was getting a little concerned, though, with his O-line. He was getting hammered by the KC Chiefs.
Yeah, but it didn't slow him down. Well, you just roll him outside, and he was dropping dimes, you know, on the run, on, you know, rolling out. It didn't faze him one bit. He looked great.
305 yards, 3 touchdowns. The game was tied at 24-24 with 8 minutes left. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers able to pull their offense back out. Also, I love watching Aaron Jones with the Green Bay Packers. He had an amazing game. 159 yards, 2 touchdowns. 13 rushing. So Green Bay Packers, another good NFC team up there in that top five for me. If you're looking at AFC teams versus NFC, I got to be honest, I think the NFC is a lot stronger. Any thoughts on that? I mean, you've got the Seattle Seahawks, you've got Green Bay Packers, the 49ers. Obviously, you can't go wrong with the Patriots because the football season starts and ends with Bill Belichick, right? And Tom Brady. So
they'll be there again.
I know it. And our Raiders. Tough game for the Raiders. They played Houston Texans. They lost that one. That's all I'm going to say. They'll come back.
Just get them ready for Vegas.
I know. I'm trying to get behind Deshaun Watson on the Texans. He's so good. But I was disappointed. I wanted the Raiders to win that one.
Gruden really liked watching him play, too. If you saw that post-game press conference, Gruden couldn't stop talking about how great he looked, which he did. He did look good. And, you know, listen, I think the Raiders are a little bit ahead of where anybody thought they were going to be this particular year. I think that they've proven they've got some good young players. They've got some pieces in place. You know, keep in mind they're still missing, you know, their stud defensive player, the Jonathan Abrams that went out. So they're going to be okay. And you know what? They stockpiled a few more draft picks. They got a few more next year. You know, get them ready and get them clicking on all cylinders when they get here to Vegas.
Yep. Excited they're coming here. Houston Texans, bad news, sad news for the Texans and their fans. J.J. Watt is out for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. You know, the Texans a few years ago were really strong on the defensive side. I think we talked about the shift on the offense. You know, they're still going to do very well, but a big loss for them.
Yeah, I wonder how much more J.J. Watt can take. That guy seems to have big injury after big injury. Is he going to be the next guy that comes in like Andrew Luck and just says, I can't do it anymore? I mean, I talked to, I don't know if you remember, the old offensive lineman, Mark Schlereth. Yep. Mark Schlereth was a great, great NFL player, and he came to do one of our luncheons one year, and we're sitting down there talking about breakfast, and he had like 40-some-odd surgeries, and he said that long before the Andrew Luck press conferences, at some point you have the injuries and it hurts, but they're tough guys. They can get through things. It's all the things that follow that injury, right? You go through the surgery, mm-hmm. the toll it takes on your body, and the anesthesia, the and then the rehab, yep. the recovery, and the grind of just killing your body, and then mentally just going, my leg won't work and this won't work. And it's so hard to continue to come back after major injury after major
and
injury.
Stay motivated.
And you know, J.J. Watt's a great player, has done a lot of things, but he continues to have major injury after major injury, and I wonder how much more he can take.
Absolutely.
Going through that every year, and he's getting up there a little bit, and he's made plenty of money, so who knows?
He does so much for the Houston community.
The community
just
loves
a great,
him. Community
great
loves
guy.
Him.
Our Raiders quarterback, and see, I said our Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr, threw for 285 yards and 3 touchdowns. Still wasn't enough. They dropped to the Texans 27-24. So, anyway, excited the Raiders are here. And I'll tell you what, that stadium is looking dang good. Every time I drive by it, it seems like more is up and more is up. So yeah,
we got glass outside now. We got black glass. It looks awesome.
That's crazy. We've got later this hour, we have Roy Hart from the Raiders that's going to be joining us. This Thursday, we've got a division rival game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Number one draft pick Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa, number two with the 49ers, will be playing head-to-head. It's going to be interesting. It's a short week. You've got to recover. You've got to prepare. This game is important for both teams. So I'm not underestimating those Arizona Cardinals. They look good in the beginning in that Saints game on Sunday. And then obviously the Saints just kind of pulled ahead, but big game. So what else, my dear? We've got all kinds of stuff. We better go to break because I know you're going to skip out a little early today, but when we come back, can we talk college football?
Talk a little college football, yeah,
all right.
And I'll skip out for the last segment.
All right, you got to stay with us. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl.
Hi, this is Leo Gray, Raider alumni, and when in Vegas, I listen to Vegas Sports Girl on the radio.
Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl, and we've got a happening jam fun party going on here in studio. John Cicinti's here from the Las Vegas Bowl, and we got caught left red-handed taking photos in here, John.
We did, but it's radio. Nobody can see.
It's radio. Well, it is a podcast, too, so anyhow.
Kind of like it's radio. Nobody can smell that. It's the best-smelling radio booth in all of Las Vegas.
I hear you.
We're just rocking the lotions and the perfumes and the... This is a girly studio right now.
Not a girly studio. Hey, this is sports and entertainment in stilettos, right?
Oh,
in
yes,
stilettos. There you go.
Yes, it is.
Joining us also, just walked in, former NFL Raider Roy Hart is with us. What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Wonderful.
Yes.
I dragged Roy in.
Good
We're
going to
talk
here.
Some college football.
Yes, college football, pro football. Football. If you just want to talk football, let's talk it.
Yeah, and also, we got the World Series tonight. Any favorites?
I have no favors when it comes to sports. I just like to see great sportsmanship. I like to see great play. I like to see great effort and hustle. Those are the type of things that I like to see. Somebody's going to be a winner, going to be a loser. So
it's going to be awesome.
Understood.
Well, we're going to talk college, and we're going to talk more NFL because that's what's happening right now outside of the World Series. College games this weekend. So a few big college games. So LSU right now is ranked at 1, Alabama at 2. And that's because of LSU's big win and the
Over
Auburn and the points, and it always is amazing to me how teams that are undefeated can drop and move up. It's crazy.
Well, right now the polls are the writers or the coaches, and so the way it works is the writers, they change their tune every single week that this team's the greatest now, this team's this. They kind of change with the wind. The coaches, quite honestly, I don't know why we have a coaches poll because those coaches are not filling out the top 25. They're giving you a handful, and then they're having somebody else do the rest of it. But listen, I work in college football. I love college football. I think the polls are important to have every single week for us to be talking about college football. Every time those polls come out, talk about who's number one, who's number two, LSU's at the top because the writers saw them beat 2 top 10 teams this year so far.
Yes.
So those are 2 huge wins, and they've looked good doing it every single week. But the thing that matters the most is this Tuesday, the college football playoff rankings.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing that actually matters in the grand scheme of things. Now, they'll take into account where teams were ranked when they beat a team or when they lost to a team. So those polls do matter a little bit as they're filling out. But the real polls start this Tuesday with the college football playoff rankings. They have the committees in there breaking down every game, and those are the ones that are going to kind of set the path for the rest of the year.
Speaking of Alabama, their quarterback Tua is expected to practice tomorrow. Not sure if he will play LSU on November 9th, so good news for Bama fans. Ole Miss will play Auburn, ranked at 11. What do you think, Roy? Any thoughts on this game?
It's the SEC, so of course it's going to be a tough battle both ways. Teams know each other. You're right next to each other in the States. It's always a competitive battle when it goes to the SEC. And, of course, I just can't wait for it to come on to see it. But, you know,
exciting.
It's going to be an exciting game. You know,
Nebraska, Purdue. You've got Utah versus Washington.
Thoughts on the Purdue game? Well, the Purdue game, of course, they've been doing pretty well. But, you know, it's just going to go with whoever wakes up on Saturday and really want it. That's the way it goes on Saturdays when it comes to college football.
Now, you have someone in the family playing in college, right?
Well, no, he's still in high school now.
Still in high school, okay.
Yes, he's a 17-year-old senior coming up down in Tifton, Georgia, Tift County High Blue Devils, where I did my high school ball at also. He's my grandson, Jalen Miller, and he's doing quite well. He's playing defensive end down there, and as a matter of fact, I'm leaving on the 7th to go down there and join him with his senior day.
Very cool. Very cool. What other games, John, are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, selfishly, I'm watching two in the Pac-12. As you know, the Las Vegas Bowl, we pull our teams from the Pac-12 and the Mountain West.
Yep.
Two huge games, Utah and Washington. Utah was a early favorite to maybe represent the Pac-12 in the college football playoff. I don't think they're going to make it into the top four. But if they beat Washington this weekend, you know, that puts them in a pretty good position going forward to at least represent the Pac-12 in the Pac-12 championship game. Who knows what happens after that? The other one is USC and Oregon. You know, everybody was down on USC when they lost a game early.
Yes, they were
done. USC, even though they struggled a little bit early, they had to find their way. Their quarterback went out for the year. They were starting essentially a third string quarterback. They're still USC. Every other position on the field, every single Saturday, they can say we probably have the best athlete at each position, and they've always been like that. But Oregon is really good. Oregon's got some talent. Oregon's got a great football team. I'll not forget Oregon's football coach, Mario Cristobal. We were together in Phoenix back in April, and I've never really heard a coach say this. I said, "Coach, how's everything going? How are you going to be this year?" And he looked around and he goes, "We're going to be pretty freaking good." Wow. Now, coaches don't ever say that. They go, "Well, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
He's excited about the talent he had on his team.
We got to do this. We got to do that. You know, if we're good." He goes, "We're going to be pretty freaking good." And you know what? They're pretty freaking good. So I'm watching those two games. I'm also watching, selfishly, this is Las Vegas Bowl implications, is the way that the New Year's Six game works and the playoffs now. One group of five representative will play in a New Year's Six game. Probably the Cotton Bowl this year. Boise State was the favorite to go play in the Cotton Bowl. Boise lost a tough game to BYU. Now we got SMU and Memphis who are really high ranked. Appalachian State's that's really high ranked. But SMU and Memphis are playing this weekend. They're actually getting game day there, which is crazy.
That's gonna be crazy.
So I'm gonna be watching that game too because it has Group of Five New Year's game implications, and ultimately that affects us too. Because if Boise's the representative, we end up losing Boise. An opportunity to have him here, and then we have to drop to the next team. But if Boise's not, then they stay in play as well for us. So I'm watching a little Pac-12, a little Group of Five this weekend.
Awesome. How close to that December 21st date will you know those teams?
So the Selection Sunday will be Selection Sunday is December 8th,
December 8th, we know for sure.
We'll have a pretty, we won't know a whole lot after the championship games will be that Friday and that Saturday before. So the 6th and the 7th, we'll have a better indication, but when it comes down to it on the Mountain West side, let's just say, for example, Boise wins the whole thing. We're not going to know for sure because we don't know if they're released by the New Year's Six games yet.
Okay.
So we're going to have to hold tight until Sunday, no matter what there. On the Pac-12 side, it's a little more complicated for us because we have a selection. So we cannot pick our team until the four bowls ahead of us pick their teams.
Wow.
So now most of the bowls are really good friends of mine. I call them up. I say, who are you thinking? What are you doing? There is one bowl that's at the top that refuses to tell us anything that they're thinking. So it makes it a little more difficult for us to. Our good friends, I love them to death. Our good friends at the Alamo Bowl. Yep. They don't give any secrets out. They don't say anything. They always wait. Well, we don't know. We're going to have to wait till Sunday. But we have to wait for the Alamo Bowl to select, then the Holiday Bowl. Then San Francisco, then El Paso, then us. So we have to wait till quite a few bowls pick ahead of us. So five bowls pick ahead of us. That all changes next year. We now have the new shiny, fancy stadium. Ooh, we're going to be number
brand
two.
New toy. Nice? So
no more waiting on five other people next year. All I can say is thank God for our Raiders.
That's awesome.
Raider Nation, Raider Nation.
John Cecenti, thank you so much. Thank
you for having me, man.
I want
to hear some stories. I wish I could hang out, so I'm going to jump in the car.
Okay.
I got about a 30-minute drive, so I will be listening. Yes. I want some good stories.
Very cool.
Those ones that didn't make it to the reporters. I'll keep it clean.
Exactly.
Yeah,
stories.
We have to keep it clean, but there's some good ones coming.
You guys are in good hands. You don't need me anymore.
John Cecenti, you're awesome. Man. Thanks again, buddy. Buy your tickets to the Las Vegas Bowl December 21st. Stay in touch, okay? Let me know.
For sure. Thanks. Whatever you need, you let us know.
You're the best.
Good to see you.
All right. Joining us, former Raider.
Pleasure meeting you.
Roy Hart is here in studio. And you've got your college stories, I'm sure. What was your favorite college bowl game that you played in?
It had to be the Gator Bowl down in Orlando, Florida. Wow. We was playing, of course, LSU at the time. And just, never knowing where I was going to fall out in the draft. It was just amazing just to be in a bowl game and having such a great season that year. And it was pretty challenging. Of course we lost, but of course I had my way with what was supposed to be a All-American center that year, but it really made me look good from how I played.
So. Absolutely. You played defensive tackle.
I played defensive tackle.
And you played with the Raiders. You played with the Jets for a year, the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
Let's talk NFL a little bit right now, today.
Okay.
Who is your team in the NFL? On the NFC and the AFC side, who do you like?
How can you say no?
Halfway through the season.
Of course, I got to like the Seattle Seahawks. They drafted me. I got to take them.
Absolutely.
They're looking strong all the way. Raiders, come on, baby.
Got to like the Raiders.
We got to love the Raiders in the AFC. But, of course, there's other teams that's looking much stronger and higher in the rankings, which, of course, you can never rule out the Patriots in the AFC.
Never.
And, of course, the Saints, they are looking fantastic. But not only the Saints, the 49ers, they are really looking fantastic, especially on defense. Now, to be a defensive player,
I was just going to ask
that's what I'm going to look at the most. And, of course, they have some guys out there that has a motor.
Playing defensive tackle, tell me what your thoughts about the 49ers defensive tackle, DeForest Buckner. They've got a strong front.
Yes, he's relentless. When you play in defensive tackle, you have to have, like I said earlier, a nonstop motor, something that they can't judge. You got to be relentless. You got to be in incredible shape because you're consistently fighting off one or two different individuals to complete your task, and that is to take the ball carrier down. So it is challenging. But I tell you what, if I had to play any other position, I'd play defensive tackle all over again.
You play all over. Tell me from a football's point of view, winning games, is it solely on a quarterback? I mean, you've got to have an amazing defense to hold the other team down with points. Can defenses win games and big games?
Oh, yes.
In your opinion?
Oh, yes.
I mean, I believe I want to...
If you have a disruptive defense, like the Patriots do, like... the 49ers do. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for the Raiders. Seeing them last year and seeing our defensive front on the Raiders, we are much faster. I just wish we'd get a little bit more tenacious and relentless and just that nonstop motor on that defensive line. But that's truly what it takes. I can tell you, playing defensive line, what an opportunity. What a beautiful thing.
Are you thinking when you're setting up on that line, are you thinking, I need to take down that quarterback on the other side?
Well, it's all pre-snap reads that you get.
Yep.
From playing the position so long, it's all pre-snap reads. And you hope your reads take you to the right place. But if you do it full speed, you can be disruptive. And that's really, if you can disrupt the offense, throw them off their rhythm, get the quarterback, of course, seeing just different jerseys around him, it just throws his rhythm off. And that's what you're looking for as a defense. And that's what the Patriots are doing. That's exactly what the 49ers are doing. Raiders, I see it in us all the time, and I know we're coming.
And Raiders look really good.
Yes.
And by the way, your coach, he's a handful. He's so fun to watch on the sideline. Thoughts on Saints. If I were to pick the Saints in the NFC and the Patriots in the AFC, if they were to play a game today, what are your thoughts?
Because Saints are playing with the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that they have, it's going to be a battle. They both have really good defenses, and they both have really good offenses, even though the Patriots' offense has sputtered a little bit this year and Brady has not been as pleased. They have that strong, powerful defense to carry over. If another team offense can't score, you can't lose. And that's the defense mentality. So,
And I'm going to take it one step further. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who comes from the Bill Belichick era, who's trained with Tom Brady. Can the Patriots and the Niners, if they were to play, can the Niners defense outplay the Patriots offense, in your opinion?
I'm not going to say they're going to outplay them. I'm going to say they can play right along with them.
Okay.
And it will be an incredible game. I don't think that they have as many wide receivers running free or many big holes for the running backs to run through. But I feel as though it will be a quality football game, long as Mr. Garoppolo, Jimmy G, can step up and deliver that football to the new weapons he got. Emmanuel Sanders, he got a new weapon.
Tevin Coleman.
Yes.
Some really strong
players. But
their
offense looks pretty strong also. They put up 51 points along with the system of the defense. You know, when you complement each other, it just makes you play harder. It's what it does. And that's what I see from the San Francisco 49ers this year.
We talked about the Raiders coming to Las Vegas.
What a beautiful thing.
How excited are you? Now, you've been in Las Vegas for how many? You've been here for a while.
Yes, I come out of I had the pleasure of moving to Las Vegas in 1994, April 23rd. Still chasing a dream of trying to play pro football, because being on the field is your resume. Film, you get a chance to be seen by 32 other teams that's playing. So I was dealing with the Las Vegas Posse of the Canadian Football League.
Okay.
Of course, I had got drafted by the Seahawks. Also played the first year of the World League, which was in 91, the London Monarchs. We won the World Bowl that year, and that's when I got picked up by Al Davis. Things went, you know, how they go sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I ended up in the Jets camp, didn't make the Jets squad, ended up in Canada, played a few years in Canada, moved to Las Vegas in 94, the Las Vegas Posse, still chasing that dream, got injured again, and of course I've been in the Las Vegas Valley since 94, and it's been one of the most beautiful things that could have ever happened to me.
And you do a lot of great things in this community. Obviously, you do a lot with the Raiders. You do a lot of give back
with kids.
Tell us about what you're doing now.
Well, I do a lot of give back for is helping fundraise, helping different nonprofit organizations, Vegas Sports Athletics, helping them just fundraise. Also, just going around and speaking with the young men in the community and at different schools. Their parents may see me or may see me at an event and say, can you come talk to my young son here? And, of course, I just love those type of things. The last few weeks, I've been having the pleasure of being invited to the sidelines of the Green Valley High School football games.
Oh, very cool.
With one of their counselors, Dr. Pouncey. It's just been fantastic. And, of course, they've been winning and having great success. And that's what you look for in the Las Vegas Valley, just being able to give back in some way.
And don't you agree, in the NFL, so many players do give back, and a lot of that goes unnoticed.
Of course it does. Yeah. Come on, we know we are a nation and we want the dirt. We don't want the good stuff. You know, the good stuff is too boring.
Right.
So we want that stuff that's taboo, that, you know, most people don't know about and stuff.
Unfortunately.
But I can tell you now, been in the Las Vegas Valley the last 25 plus years now, there's a lot of incredible ex-athletes of all sports. Not just football.
We've got the aviators and the aces and
yes.
Athletes from, like you said, that are living and buying second homes here.
Yes.
Taxes are good here in Nevada.
Oh, I can tell you now, we are really a sports mecca.
For the fans here in Las Vegas and for those that will be traveling to Las Vegas, what do you anticipate the Raiders will bring to this fan base?
A lot of excitement. A lot of incredible just people coming to enjoy themselves, not only at our incredible new stadium, but of course, online mega casinos also. I can tell you now, there's nothing like Raider Nation. Mm-hmm. Living in Las Vegas, I've been and had the pleasure to be involved with like five different Raider booster clubs that's just here to support the team. And I can tell you, having friends, stuff still down in Los Angeles because I played for the Los Angeles Raiders.
Yep.
They are all coming to drive. I have in-laws up in San Jose talking to the people in the Bay Area. They just can't wait. It's more of a party destination now when they can also come and support their team.
Very cool. We've got Roy Hart in studio. Will come back and see me?
Yes, of course. Love to.
Thanks for joining us.
And thanks for inviting me and look forward to coming back.
Wonderful. You've listened to Vegas Sports Girl. Check us out next Tuesday, 4 p.m. We've got a big week in sports. Check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com and place your bets. Thanks again. Have a wonderful week.